Walking this talk together.
Every hour.
Every day. This is 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Looking forward to this one. If you are someone who is abreast of the political, economic, and social aspects of our country, which is basically everything, you'll want to tune into this one, specifically talking about the latest announcement by the president regarding, or the announcement by the energy minister regarding the independent power producers. Remember, we had a discussion juxtaposing between the various sorts of alternative energy providers. We do have Dr. Ibrahim Harvey on the line. He's a political writer and commentator. Dr. Harvey, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
I'm okay, man. How are you?
I'm good. Maybe I should be asking if you're not in the dark.
No. No, it's fine. But I also have a battery inverter because I work at Deadline, so I need, when there's load shedding, then I can just switch on to the battery inverter.
Sure. And sometimes it's not even enough time to actually charge that inverter, but we have been downgraded to level 3, it seems. But if we're looking at the lower income working class, doctor, and the independent power producers, we're looking for a solution. The president came back, he had an emergency return to the country for this energy crisis. It seems as if we've all been looking at IPPs as a possible solution. Could it be that it's not the best solution, especially for the lower working class, which is, we talk about a middle class and a working class, which is dwindling at the moment?
Yeah. Well, you know, the News 24 column of mine on Saturday morning dealt, obviously, you must have seen that, and
yes,
hence the interest. But that is the serious problem, you know. I can understand that people are fed up with Eskom and all the load shedding, especially this year and the past 2 weeks has been the worst ever. But, I basically criticized the media in my column, saying that they did not pay adequate attention to the absolutely certain consequences of going the IPP route, which is the private sector route.
Mm-hmm.
And in objective terms, you know, one can understand it. People have had enough now with this load shedding and electricity problems with Eskom. But my column was targeted at exploring and saying that the media did not specifically address what the consequences would be of us increasingly going the private sector route. And that is that already working class people are struggling to just to put food on the table and to make ends meet.
Yes.
Now, they can't afford all these various options. You know, the renewable sector has got various options that you can pursue, but you need money to be able to do that. And what the media didn't do was to adequately explore what are the causes for the poor working class majority who cannot afford to go the route of the IPPs. That's the thing, and that's why I said it would benefit mainly the well-to-do and middle-class people. But you've got to get Eskom right. Eskom is a public electricity utility, and it would serve the interests of people, and primarily, you know, those who cannot afford to go the route of the IPPs. And this is what is not being addressed. Instead, they're now talking about, you know, the ANC feels that the top leadership should have engineering skills, you know, expertise, and it's a serious problem. The chairperson of the board of Eskom, Professor Makhoba, I mean, he's a very intellectual, guy, and he's never once, said that this is a shortcoming of, you know, a reason why Eskom has failed.
Yes.
I think it's really a red herring about Eskom needing, and I think they're probably targeting the rater that he doesn't have, engineering skills. I think really that's not addressing the core issues. Is we are sitting with the problems of years and years of neglect. The electricity is a long-term thing.
Yes.
You know, what you fail to do or do now has consequences down the line. And also bear in mind there's been lots of incidents of sabotage. I believe conscious sabotage. A book has even been published 2-3 months ago.
Yes.
Devoted to dealing with how internally, even amongst the employees, there's been sabotage repeatedly going on. So these things have to be taken into account. But I say the former president, Becky Ann Motlanthe, has gone the route of also echoing this thing that, no, we need engineers, you know, to be on top. I don't think that's going to address the problem. But basically, this is what we're sitting with. If you go the IPP route, which will suit the middle class, well, you know, even the middle class is struggling under the impact of the current crisis and what's going on in the invasion of Ukraine and cost of living, etc., you know, especially the black middle class. There's a middle class and a middle class in South Africa. The white middle class would be a bit better off. It's the black middle class that's been more seriously affected by this crisis. So even for them, we must not presume that they would be able to afford going the IPP route and buying all these renewables, you know, very expensive stuff, you know. And that's the problem that the media needs to address. That's why you ultimately have to fix Eskom. Because the poor majority can't leave Eskom and go the independent power producer route. They don't have the money for a renewable. And they're expensive. So that was the import of the column, you know, that...
No, it sounds like, you know what, there's a battle between the socialist aspirations, and we know public institutions are largely not capitalistic minded, but we live in a capitalistic world. They also have to be sustainable. How do we then work? And thank you for that stratification. I just want to get a context of the middle class and saying there's a black and white middle class, and they're not necessarily performing on the, if just to give us a better context of the numbers, Doctor. Are you aware of where exactly the middle class is and the lower middle class is? Is the larger amount of South Africans, which tier do we sit? Because if largely we're a country with people who are suffering and struggling, if we are finding solutions that are going to benefit those who are, it should benefit all in society. But ultimately, where do we start? It's a tricky one, because then if you are a state institution, you need fund, you need resources, financial resources to a certain extent. And then you've got those who are well off are able to pay for those. So then they say, why are we getting cut out from this? How do you ameliorate this tricky situation as a public institution?
Yeah, this is the problem. You see, you know, this is the emphasis you must place on it correctly. Eskom has been, since it was formed, you know, over a century ago, a public utility. Public utility, you know, meant to address the electricity needs of the public. And who is the public? 80%, 90% of the public, especially given the history of this country, is the black working class. Then, you know, after 1994, the black middle class grew, etc. But what people don't realize, and that's why I did many pieces on this, dissecting the middle class in South Africa. There's a black middle class, and you've just got to look at what has happened to the two key things, a signal and assault on the middle class. And that is, and you'll see how it's happened under the impact of the current economic crisis over the past few years. Repossessions of cars and homes. The two biggest assets of the middle class. The media doesn't focus because it sang this song about the rising black middle class. It suited it. What it has not addressed is how that same black middle class has gone down under the impact, even before COVID and especially since COVID, how it has been decimated. The white middle class is more entrenched because of historical reasons. You know, it's got more assets and resources to fall back onto during hard times. You had basically a small, tiny middle class under the apartheid times. It expanded rapidly after 1994. A lot of opportunities, AA, BEE, etc. That same black middle class has been under sustained attack even long before COVID came. So it's very different. I mean, I don't have the exact numbers, but I can tell you, you know, you're looking at the bulk probably of that middle class falling into the lower ranks of the middle class than the upper ranks. The upper ranks would be largely white, you know. So race and class intersects all the time in our history, you know. But back to this thing, which is what you ought to focus on, really, which I mean, nothing, is the Eskom crisis now, and how it's going to affect this class configuration that we're talking about now. And that's why I said that what Eskom is going to do now to go down the route of IPPs and private sector participation, and you can understand the need for it because, I mean, it's the middle class, you know, the intellectuals, the corporate sector, who I mean, also is seriously affected, you know, their work, etc., when we have this load shedding. But ultimately, you know, it is the working class, you know, that's a majority of the population in this country. And, you know, when their basic needs of water, sanitation, electricity is not attended to, it just drives down further already low standards of living, you know. And I try to tease this out in the column, you know, that we need to, this is urgent, the ANC government needs to also, which they're not doing, they're doing the same thing as the media, they're not urgently addressing what are the likely consequences of going the IPP route.
I'd imagine, Dr. Harvey, there's scenario planning, there's engineers, I've done project management, I'm a project administrator by qualification. I'd imagine there's scenario planning. When you're talking about billions and millions in investment, surely there should be scenario planning where you play out the worst and best case scenario and the middle and all those mitigating factors. Surely there is some sort of exercise like that.
Well, you know, it's certainly not been, where is it that you can read this? This scenario planning and sketches you're talking about now, I'm talking about Eskom now, confronting the crisis in Eskom.
Yes.
I've not seen it. You know,
Who should we be asking, Dr. Harvey, because we're speaking to you right now as a doctor. We're just citizens. We want to be responsible, informed citizens. Who should we hold accountable? Because you're right, as the media and as citizens, we are guilty of not paying attention. What should we be saying? If you're listening into this conversation, you've told us about the stratifications of the middle class, black and white, the decisions of the IPPs and how it will affect the future going forward. What should we take from this conversation? We've got elections coming up. A lot of the people talk about it's a black party and you talk about a black majority. Why do we keep voting them in? We look at the electoral system itself and how it is shaped. So it's not an easy answer, black and white answer, but just to have a parting shot for this discussion, what are we missing? What should we be looking at going forward with regards to these IPPs and all the elements you've mentioned?
Yeah, it's a very complex question. Many strands to it, you know, and even in responding to you, you know, it's difficult to. But basically, the bottom line is really, I can tell you now, Eskom has hit rock bottom, really. But I don't see any. You know, what the ANC is trying to do now, bring in new executive and engineering, I don't know how much it's going to change what has happened already. And you've seen the Zondo Commission inquiry. Every page almost has got the fingerprints of the ANC on it, the corruption, what has happened. It's done now. It's history. Right now, the crisis confronting Eskom is not just what it's doing to the middle class who wants to not migrate to IPPs. We have to ask ourselves, how is the ANC going to deal with, I mean, and how it will affect voting? We don't know in 2024. People are really hurtful, if you want to use that term, in the townships. And, you know, if the people who struggle the most with this load shedding, and my column dealt with this and emphasized it, because they don't have alternatives they can pursue, like inverter batteries and generators, etc. They settled with load shedding, you know, things like paraffin, candles and stuff like that. And even that people are struggling to buy. Can you imagine it?
Yeah.
Yes, they're struggling even to purchase that. So this crisis will not be resolved through IPPs. I can tell you now, until the ANC, and the ANC, you have to, this is where you have to lay the blame at the door of the ANC for what is. I mean, enough has been written about this. Books, articles, everything, as shown in Zondo Commission of Inquiry. Our crisis in electricity now must be laid squarely at the door of the ruling party. And I can tell you it's going to hurt them in 2024.
Thank you so
much.
And
also what comes out of this IPP process and how it might even further worsen the very conditions we're speaking about this black working class majority. Unless, you know, there can be a fundamental change in Eskom. I don't see it coming so soon, especially when they're looking in the wrong places for answers now.
Thank you very much, Dr.
And that the Rater and others don't have engineering skills, and we need to bring in that. The chairman of the board is Professor Makoba, a very intelligent guy, former vice chancellor at Wits University, has never raised this once. He's as the head of the board. He has never once said that he thinks one of the reasons is that for the failures is that we don't have.
Thank you so much, Doctor. That's Dr. Ibrahim Harvey, political writer and commentator, letting us know the extent of the independent power producers' new deal signing and how the lower income working class are set to suffer under that.